Now let's head live to the Antlers for the Laker Hockey Show with the voice of the Lakers, Bill Crawford, on ESPN 1400.
Well, hi again, everybody. We are live from the Antlers. It's a Monday night. We got a good crowd on hand again. That's great because the fans are sticking with the show and coming down to see us, and I'm sure we've got listeners. A really tough weekend. Damon Witten's here. Rich Mitro is going to join us in the second half of the show tonight. We'll be talking with Rich about recruiting and some of the other things that are going on. But Damon, a really tough weekend for the Lakers. We had an opportunity here, and you and I talked about it. You were very gracious, I thought, post-game Saturday night. Tough loss, 3-1 empty net goal. But this is a struggle recently. In the last five games, the Lakers have scored one goal in each game, and you're just not going to win very many games doing that, and that's what we talked about. It's a tough weekend.
Well, the struggle, like you mentioned, is offensively. You know, the highlight you take or the good you take, and I think we're a pretty glass-half-full staff. You know, we like some of the things we're doing. We like the direction we're headed. Defensively, we've been very good. You know, to give up three goals beyond four, I guess, with the empty netter on the weekend, that gives you a chance to win hockey games, and that's a credit to our team defense, our goaltending. And that's been good. That's been there. That's been consistent from the second half on, and that's going to continue to be that way. We might have to bring, I think we're about a 1.8 goals against average from Christmas on. You know, unfortunately, we might have to bring that down even more these last four games into playoffs because we are challenged offensively. And it's a difficult thing, you know, to teach offense, to teach creativity and skill. You know, we talked about it early in the year. You know, we know we can come every day to practice in every game and compete and defend and battle, you know, that's the bare minimum we can do. And then the offensive side of the puck, some days it's not there, you know, whether it's practice, game, and it's a very difficult thing to enhance, to get better at, and to teach. You know, some guys have it, some guys don't. And like I said, some days it's not there. In the last few weeks, it hasn't been there. It's frustrating and it's difficult. But again, you know, defensively, we've been rock solid. We've been very good. We like that about our team. We like, you know, how much growth we've seen in that area from the first half of the season with the young D, the young goaltenders. That's been very good. We've got to find a way to get on that score sheet and get over these games because we've left some points on the table that are going to be difficult to overcome.
Yeah, I think the tough thing about this past weekend, we played to a 1-1 tie on Friday night, 3-1 empty net goal game, a loss on Saturday night. That was a really tough loss to take. Alabama Huntsville's a hard-working team. They really go after you. They've got great goaltending, but they're not that good a hockey team. And if we'd played, in my opinion, like we did against Bemidji, like we did against Bowling Green and Mankato, we'd have had a little bit more success than we did against them this past weekend. I think that's kind of what hurts the most is we just didn't seem to play with that same sort of enthusiasm. Well, not enthusiasm, because that was there. We just didn't complete the plays. We didn't complete passes in the neutral zone. We didn't move the puck like we did at Bowling Green or against Bemidji.
Yeah, I think you're right. There was a lack of urgency, if that's the right word, a little bit. And that hurt us. But having said that, you know, we watched the game back Friday night. We maybe gave up four grade A scoring chances. I mean, four all night long. That's pretty darn good. And you're going to win the majority of games when you do that. You know, that was a tie, obviously. And then watching Saturday back, I mean, you're talking six, seven grade A chances. And, it's really, there's nothing going on that game until they just kind of flip a puck and get a breakaway. And a guy who scored one goal all year, which came the night before, goes down and looks like he scored 20 goals. So, you know, it's missed opportunities for sure. And there's frustration that way. But, you know, we weren't as sharp as we were against Bowling Green, Bemidji, but we also weren't far away. You know, if we get one or two more goals, I loved our start Saturday. I thought we were all over them, generated grade A, but that's, you know, when you can't put a team away or get that early lead against a team like Huntsville or Northern coming up, you allow them to hang around, and then they start feeling a little bit better, and they get that one break, and it's a much different game. And, you know, right now with our lack of ability to score goals, teams get to hang around, even though we have a good start, and even though we're controlling tempo and pace, and it's a recipe for disaster.
Well, that first period on Saturday night, four power play chances and nothing to show for it, and that kills you. That'll come back and haunt you 9 times out of 10. It did on Saturday night. One of the good things about this, though, and I think that's the point you're trying to make here, is that defensively we're pretty sound. Now, you look at what happened up in Anchorage. Tech went up there. They won 5-1 Friday night. Now, it looks like the Seawolves threw in the towel on Saturday. They got outshot in that game 41-33 and lost 10-0.
Yeah, I actually watched both those. When I got home after the games, I watched our games back and then watched some of those late games up in Alaska. And, yeah, you know, I mean, that's not us. We're not, just hanging on. You know, we actually outshot, the team and we want to continue to get better that way. You know, that's healthy. You know, you mentioned the power play in the first period. You know, we talked a lot as a staff early last week. We thought about, hey, let's really look at changing line combinations, really shaking things up. And then we kind of decided, well, let's get through. We got a bye week coming up next week. It's probably a better time than to go in and look like we're panicked or worried or things like that. And we're not panicked. That's not the right word. But, you know, we didn't want to make big wholesale changes. But obviously now there's been a pretty good segment where we haven't scored. We've really got to look at some different line combinations. You know, Nathan Harris hasn't played much. He's pretty good in the power play. He's got some skill. One of our better power play defensemen. We need more from him 5-on-5 and defensively, but maybe it's a guy we dress 7 defensemen and play him on the power play. You know, Ian Miller is one of our more skilled guys, and maybe we dress Ian and really use him as a power play specialist with limited minutes 5-on-5. So we've got to explore those options. It's a great week for that. That's maybe the one healthy thing about the bye week is we can really look at changing some pieces and looking at some areas to enhance.
Yeah, tough too. You know, you get into these situations. We're down to the last 4 games of the regular season. Don't play this weekend. The teams we're fighting with for a playoff spot each have games in hand. They are playing this weekend. I think we've got Huntsville has Ferris State down in Huntsville, and Alaska Anchorage is at Bemidji State. Now, those are both tough assignments. Ferris State's not going to roll over for Huntsville, but, hey, Huntsville's playing with a lot of confidence right now. Ferris State is struggling to get wins, got one in overtime on Saturday. Bemidji's playing pretty darn well. The only team they've struggled with this year is Lake Superior State.
Yeah, no, like you said, Anchorage, you know, they're hitting a tough spell for sure, you know, and it'll be interesting going into Bemidji, a hot Bemidji team. So, you know, you hate to back in or not control your own destiny, but certainly we got to be big fans of Bemidji and Ferris State this weekend for them to take points from teams we're battling and playing. And, you know, again, going back to Fairbanks, those missed points, those missed opportunities, had we been able to get some points in Fairbanks and get 3 or 4 this weekend versus the other way, boy, we're sitting there looking at a real good playoff spot and getting away from that Minnesota State, Michigan Tech matchup, 2 teams who are, you know, I mean, both top 4 in the nation right now and really, really good hockey teams and tough matchups for anybody.
You know, you look at it this way, too, though. We went up to Alaska a week ago from this past weekend and lost 2 tough games, one on an empty net goal, 3-1, the other one 2-1. And they just beat Minnesota State Mankato and tied them on the weekend. They're one of the top teams in the country, and they beat them pretty well. 3-1 is a good win, and they outshot them in that game by a fair margin, and they outshot them by a 2-1 margin on Friday night in the tie.
Yeah, I like that Fairbanks team. I think they've got a good hockey team. You know, Tyler Morley is now a Hobie Baker finalist, and you know, that's a big piece of it in college hockey. You get 1 or 2, and they got Perry Aiko on the back end, Basara with Morley up front. You get 2 or 3, you know, big time playmakers. Look at Churchman last year, Radke Campbell. You get a couple big time players. You know, Michigan Tech's got it with Tanner Carroll this year and then Alex Patan among other guys. You need those guys who can put the team on your back and score that big time goal or draw that big penalty to get it going. And those teams have it. And so they're playing good hockey. You know, back to Saturday, 1 second, Bill. And, you know, we talked about the power play hurting us in the first period. Then you flip it to the penalty kill. We had 4 penalties in the first 12 minutes to kill off. In the second period. And so we spent 8 to 12 minutes or 8 to 14 minutes shorthanded. You know, you take away again so much energy and you know, everything you put forward to kill those penalties. And we use Perfetto, we use Coriale, we use Ciotti, we use Schmidt. So we use a lot of our top guys, to kill those minutes, and it makes that comeback tough.
Yeah. And the difference in those 2 games, and we talk about this post game on Saturday night, but, the difference in the 2 games with officiating, and I'm not going to pick on officials here necessarily, but one penalty called on Friday night in the game, and it was against Huntsville in the first period. It figured in on nothing. We didn't get a shot on goal on the power play, and they didn't get hurt in any way there. But then on Saturday night, these guys, for some reason or another, the 2 officials, 17 penalties between the 2 teams, lots of special teams play, and that does not favor Lake Superior State.
Yeah, no, and I did a little disappointed in a couple of those. You know, we talked to our players about playing between the whistles and staying on the ice, and I thought we lacked discipline a little bit. Didn't hurt us. We evened them up a little bit, but we're no question we're a 5-on-5 team. I mean, our special teams. We don't want to get in a special teams battle, as you mentioned. You know, it's funny, fans maybe wonder what you talk about with the refs sometimes and what happens. And I actually went out before the game to talk to one of the refs, and I had a question on the night before and some of the a comment he made about, we're going to let the players decide. It was late Friday night in the game. He said, you know, we've set this standard. We got to, you know, we got to let the standard go. I said, penalty is still a penalty. It doesn't matter the standard you set. If you get wrapped up or you get hauled down and you look at their goal where Ryan Renz got tripped on it, you know, standard or no standard, a penalty is a penalty. And I really didn't like his terminology, and he tried to kind of, you know, backpedal a little bit and say, well, we've already set the standard. But I didn't like that. And then, so fine, you set a standard Friday night. It's tougher when they come out and set a totally different standard Saturday night, and our players aren't prepared for that. So it was a weird feel that way between the lack of calls Friday and then everything being called Saturday. And, you know, it's something – officiating's officiating, and it is what it is. But it was a weird conversation. And, you know, I think the Keith and Kevin are two of our better officials in the league, but I didn't think it was their best weekend.
Yeah, Max McHugh today, the number 7 for Huntsville, was named Rookie of the Week in the WCHA. He had 1 point on the weekend. It was a game-winning goal on Saturday night, a power play goal. Kind of a bad goal, really. I mean, it wasn't. It was a rebound play where he banged it in, but he gets Rookie of the Week for that, and Lake Superior State gets beat. But the real key there was Lake Superior again, 0-for-7 on the power play. Huntsville's 1-for-6. There's the hockey game.
Yeah, a little bit. You know, Gus Coriello did have the shorthanded goal, so that balanced it out. You know, that's our penalty kills doing a little bit better job creating offense. And, you know, we talked a lot about, you know, our past teams where Coach Aubrey runs a penalty kill. You know, they led the country in shorthanded goals where he came from, and where I used to run it, we were, I think, 4th or 5th. So that's something we want to continue to take advantage of. And, you know, their power play goal is actually a thing of beauty. They just wristed one to the net. They outnumbered us, had bodies, to whack away at a rebound. And, you know, I thought they did a good job. And, you know, we've got too many guys who want to pass up shots and wrist pucks to the net. You know, we're trying to have our guys just do a better job of simplifying it and getting pucks to the net. And we got to find the right guys who are willing to do that and then pay the price net front to find that second effort puck.
Yeah, you look at the statistics, and we do this every game. We try not to harp on it too much, but the Lakers are right at the bottom, 59th among 59 teams in power play efficiency. And we just don't seem to do much of anything with the power play, and I know you work on it all the time. It's not like it doesn't get worked on. I'm up there often enough to know that it's worked on quite a bit. Penalty kill's gotten to be a lot better. We're still down because of the first half of the season. The second half, it's been pretty darn good, and that's picked up a little bit.
Yeah, well, and they both have. I mean, again, if you look at that 10-game segment, that number's coming down, but we have doubled our power play percentage from the first half to that last 10 games. I'd have to go run the numbers for this past weekend, which would obviously bring it down, but there's been steps. You know, it's improved, but it's not where it needs to be, no question about it. Same thing with penalty kill. It's improved tremendously, but that's one where you just got to really find a way to get a critical kill in a game, in a tie hockey game, and we weren't able to do it. So it's a little deflating for sure in that situation, but, you know, we've seen good growth. Like I said, we're glass half full guys. We've seen so much growth in this team and where we were when we started, and that's what makes it tougher. You know, I think maybe 2-3 months ago, maybe we expected to lose those games, and now we don't. Whether it's Bowling Green, Mankato, Alabama, Huntsville, the expectation has changed in a short period of time, and that's a good thing for our program.
Yeah, I think that everybody, that's the disappointment of Saturday night's game, is everybody's looking for us to continue to play really well in the second half, and we kind of didn't get it done there on Saturday night, although there is one guy who played really well for you all weekend. Well, you had a couple guys who played real well, but Gus Coriale did a great job. He scored 2 goals, his 2nd and 3rd of the season, the big shorthanded goal to give you a 1-0 lead Saturday night, and I just thought he was kind of flying around and making things happen, and he and Steven Perfetto do a pretty good job on that line.
Yeah, you know what, Gus had a great weekend, and he, like you said, he's been good all year. I mean, he's been a very valuable piece. One thing we have talked about is some of the opportunities he gets, the minutes he plays. We would like more offense out of Gus, so it was good to see that come for him in the goals. You know, I thought the goal Friday night came off a really good forecheck into an offensive zone. We had a good forecheck. We turned the puck over, held onto an offensive zone possession, and Jimmy Roll just wristed a puck to the net, and Gus beat his guy, and it really hit off his skate, I think, and went in, or maybe a stick, but a real good kind of a greasy goal, so that was a healthy step. And, you know, that's one of the combinations, Perfetto-Coriale. Do we keep it together? Do we break it up? They've played together so much, and they do a lot of good things, but then the offense has stagnated a little bit, so we've got to make a decision on that. The other thing is they penalty kill together, so they're our top penalty kill pair. there. If they're not on the same line, now you get a penalty. They might not, they might be, one of them might be tired, the other one might be fresh. So we've got to make some decisions of how much we're going to shake up and what it's going to look like when we do that.
Little bit of a shake up on Saturday night compared to Friday, and I know you weren't real happy with everybody's performance on Friday night, but you did make some changes. You inserted Scott Patterson, Luke Sandler, and Zach Lesh into the lineup. You took out Al Globke along with Mitch Nardi and Daniel Vernacci. Did you think that worked out okay for you? I thought really that a couple of those guys, Patterson in particular, played pretty darn well for you Saturday night.
Well, it didn't work out because we didn't get the win. So, you know, but individually, I thought Luke Sandler was very noticeable when he went in the lineup. You know, some of that urgency and grit that we lack, Luke brings that in spades. And you know, he came in and he had a lot of comments from different fans and people watching the game about, you know, how hard he plays, how fast he plays. And, you know, and part of the issue, he's got to learn to rein it in almost a little bit so he doesn't get those penalties. But, you know, he provides that toughness, that grit. I mean, he's by far our best guy net front on the opposing goaltender, and that's why he's got a ton of value to his game. I thought Scott Patterson had his best game, you know, since he's gotten here. He's been off a long time with a shoulder injury and an up, so he's back and really, really liked his game. He's also got a very good stick, a very good shot, so he's maybe a power play piece that then can get it going, even though, again, he hasn't played much, has a lot of offense. And I thought Zach was good too. Zach came in, he skates extremely well, he did a good job using pace. So, I thought those guys all played well as individuals. You know, but we gotta make sure, we're even or plus players. You know, some of the guys you mentioned who came out, they weren't able to be an even or plus player, and that was part of it. And, just some decisions. You know, we've gotta realize our margin of error is so thin and play the game the right way. And, you know, that's why you see some of those pieces in and out. And they're not the only guys. You know, there's some other guys who at some point can probably, you know, come out of the lineup and give somebody else a chance. But, we're happy with some efforts Friday night. We need everybody. You know, we're not good enough to have, 10 guys play well or 14 guys play well. We need 20 guys playing well, in order to give us a chance. And we didn't have that either night. So that's the disappointing part.
Okay, we're going to take a break. First one of the night on the Laker Hockey Show. We're live at the Antlers on East Portage Avenue, and we'll be right back with more on ESPN 1400.
As the Laker Hockey Show continues with your host, Bill Crawford, on ESPN 1400.
All righty, we're back at the Antlers on a, well, I guess we would call this a warmer Monday night. It's almost balmy out there. It's about 8 degrees Fahrenheit, which is a heck of a lot better than it was most of the weekend when it was below zero. Never did get above zero yesterday in the Sioux. We got a lot of questions from the fans who are here tonight. In fact, I think we have more questions tonight than we've had at any show all season. I got a couple things I want to hit on before we get into them, though. I thought the crowd Friday night was outstanding. I still think it was bigger than they announced. I don't understand the fact the crowds were announced as being almost the same, and there's no way there weren't more people there Friday night than Saturday. But we went through some other stuff. We had a whiteout weekend. We had a lot of things going on. We had a spaghetti dinner between the basketball and the hockey on Saturday. We had beer sales for the first time. I'd like to ask a little bit about that, but just a comment or two on the crowds, and then how did the beer thing go? It looked like it went pretty well, and it looked like they maybe made some money and brought some fans in.
Yeah, no, I thought the crowds were excellent. You know, it was great, you know, for our guys. I mean, it means so much to our players and our team and our program to have the support we have in this community. It's a great hockey community, and our guys feed off it. There's no question about it. I know there's been, some different feedback about the volume in the rink, the speakers. We got an all new speaker system put in. It should be better in the stands now. We do have some speakers right over the ice. So our players want it cranking. Our players want to get the juice flowing and be pumped up. So I know some fans think it's too loud, and so you're always fighting that battle a little bit. But the new speakers are great. But that was a really good environment, a great crowd. We appreciate the support. And you mentioned Friday night was definitely, you know, a great crowd. And Saturday wasn't quite as big, but still a good crowd. Now we got to do our part to give them more to cheer about. You know, that's a frustrating part. We got everybody there. The students are ready to roll, and then we can't get going a little bit more. But they were great, and it means a lot to our program. So we appreciate that. Hopefully we have that same and even more for that last home series in 3 weeks here. Beer sales, I just heard a little bit today. Obviously there's a couple people out there that are concerned about it. You know, and aren't a big fans in the college environment. And I don't think that shocks us. I think that's a legitimate concern. That's why there's the wristband procedure in place, some extra, security in place to make sure things are handled that way. But the feedback of what happened was great. We didn't have any issues that were brought back to our administration or our staff. So we appreciate appreciate our fans and our students being mature and responsible about it. I have not heard a numbers or financial impact that it had, but you know, it's concessions that controls that, and they will get the majority of the proceeds there, but there is a part for athletics as well. So there will be a financial impact and bump for our program and the athletics out of it, which is good as well.
Now, you talked a few minutes ago about this being a week off, what you're going to do there. Maybe a little bit of rest would be called for here, but also maybe try to look at some new line combinations and do some other things. We got four or five guys on this team who played a lot of hockey games this year and don't have very much to show for. We've got some guys with no goals and a couple guys with one goal. Is there a chance that maybe you'll switch some lines all around?
Oh, totally. You know, everything's on the table. Tomorrow's going to be a good day. You know, Coach Aubrey ran out of town recruiting today, but he'll be back late tonight or tomorrow morning. We have a recruit in tomorrow as well, so that'll take a little bit of time away from the staff. But, you know, today we just worked out. We weren't on the ice. We want, again, just mentally rest, physically rest a little bit. But they did have a good full body workout. We want to get after them pretty good there. You know, we want to be peaking. This is the time of year. We got to be playing your best hockey. We're physically, mentally, you're sharp. So we do want to get them on the rink a day or two and let them freshen up, take care of school, and make sure we're ready to go the last couple series and in the playoffs. But so we'll look at some different areas. Part of what I hope to do tomorrow is have our normal 30-40 minute practice session, a little bit more tempo and puck touches because we had the day off today, and then we're going to do a scrape and we're going to come back out and really hit a 20-30, maybe 40 minute special team scrimmage with, you know, just some different looks. You know, Nathan Harris is going to get his look, Ian Miller is going to get his look, you know, Aiden Wright at the power play goal at the you know, the inter squad scrimmage at Polar playing net front. I think we might see Aiden Wright net front and see if that can play out a little bit more in a different situation. Sometimes playing D, you really understand shot lanes and blocking, so we can take the goalie's eyes away. So we're going to try some different looks. I also think we'll try some different line combinations. We'll try to give it 2 or 3 days this week and see if some chemistry is created and some life is created. And so it's going to be a good week and an interesting week to see, you know, who wants it, who's ready to play these last few weeks, and who can kind of get us over that hump.
Yeah, you don't like to look ahead necessarily, but being a fan, I kind of like to do that. So it looks to me like if the Lakers are in a playoff situation, you're going to either be at Mankato or at Michigan Tech. Have you got a preference there?
Yeah, I want to get up one more spot. Well, I don't know if I want to face
Edmonton. I want to go to Bowling Green.
Well, I don't even know that. I mean, they're pretty good too. But no, I mean, you know, they're great teams. That's a tough matchup, but that's the beauty of playoff hockey. You know, we've got great goaltending, and our team defense has been so good the second half.
Yep.
And
anything
you know,
can happen.
Yeah, we're a scary playoff opponent, but we certainly want to put ourselves in the best position and playing our best hockey going into it. You don't want to limp into it or back into it, then have to go try to flip the switch. So, you know, we've got to play a little bit more, and we've got to find some chemistry that'll get our offense going.
You know, it occurred to me too when you sat out Loki, Nardi, and Vernacci on Saturday night, and you inserted some other players in there. That line. That's the three that were on a line that were doing so well for us when we played at Christmas down in Florida, and then at Mankato, at against Bemidji here, and at Bowling Green. That was a great line for us, and Mitch kind of got knocked out there that one game with the little bit of a concussion, and they haven't been the same since.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that secondary scoring was huge for us, and they were playing great hockey. And you know, sometimes the tendency is you start getting away from what made you successful. All of a sudden, you know, you're playing a certain role, you're playing well, then the pucks start going in for you. All of a sudden, you kind of change your mindset of what it takes to be successful and what kind of line you are. And that's a big thing. Like I said, we've got to be great defensively, and I thought they got away from that. You know, they had a goal scored against them on Friday night, and the 2-on-1 they gave up as well, and it's just not tight enough defensively. So the good news is Dan was texting already this morning and last night, can I come watch video? And you know, Al will come in, so we'll sit down and watch some video with those guys and show them what our expectation is, and then hopefully they'll earn their way back into the lineup.
Yeah, I hope nobody thinks we're picking on these guys either. You know, I think Al Globke is just the greatest guy. You know, he's a great kid, and there's a really good story, if you haven't seen it yet, that's on the website that Linda Beauvais did. She wrote a story on Al Globke and some of the things that he thinks about and other things besides hockey. And I know all these guys pretty well, and you know, I hope nobody thinks we're picking on anybody here. It's a situation where we're trying to win hockey games. You're trying to put the best lineup on the ice that you can.
Yeah, well, and he's valuable. I mean, you know, obviously his year has not gone the way he expected. You know, Rich and I went down and got to see him in the Red Wings prospect camp. You know, as we got on job, and obviously I knew Al a little bit from the year he had last year. I recruited Al a little bit, you know, back in his, junior days. And, you know, we've got to do a better job of putting him in a place to be successful. Now we've put him in some different areas, different lines, power play combinations, and, you know, it happens. You know, I think he came in with, you know, huge expectations of building off of last year. And all of a sudden, you know, instead of maybe Radke Campbell getting some of the attention, everybody's focused on Al Golke. You know, top lines are matched up or shut down lines against him, and it's tough. So I know that's been difficult, but, you know, we need him. He's a big part of our team. And, when he's going, we're a different team.
Yeah,
go ahead, Bill.
If you looked at, you know, this is another thing when you mentioned that they're shutting down Globke, is I thought Saturday night Huntsville really concentrated on beating up Stephen Perfetto every chance they got. They sat on him, they punched him, they kicked him, they threw him in the corner. He's out there with Gus Corrielli and Garrett Clement. That's not exactly a physically formidable line. Maybe it's time to put Luke Sandler out there, even if he takes a major penalty or something, to protect Stephen Perfetto a little bit.
Well, I hope Luke's not listening, because we don't want Luke taking major penalties. But
he already took one.
Yeah, well, yeah, and we thought about that. Like I said, we talked about really changing some things, but the Ciotti-Schmidt-Sandler line had some success as well. And, you know, and Garrett, Perf, and Gus have been pretty good for us too. So, we looked long and hard early last week. And then, just as a staff, we decided that we'll get through this weekend, get to the bye week, and really start tinkering a little bit if we didn't wake up offensively. And we didn't. So it's certainly time. And, you know, it's a good thought to give them some beef and some grit.
Yeah, I want to make mention too, before we get too much farther along, so I can do it twice during this show, that the Blue Liner Banquet is coming up on, Sunday, March the 8th. Keep that in mind. That's very early for the Blue Liner Banquet. It's right when the season ends. And I think the thinking there on the part of the Blue Liners is the parents will be here for Parents Weekend, the parents of the seniors, that is, and they'll still be around. And so we can have that banquet, and then they don't have to go home and turn around and come back in April. This is a good idea, I think. And it's going to be at 3 p.m. That'll be the dinner on a Sunday, March the 8th. It'll be at the Sisler Center. 2 p.m., the social part of it. It's $20 for adults, $10 for kids age 5 to 12. And tickets are available at the Norris Center ticket office, and we'll announce that again before we get out of here tonight. We've got a lot of questions from the fans tonight. I want to get into those right now, Damon. First one is that this person says, I noticed on Saturday that Rich and Pete were on opposite sides of the bench than they usually are. Did Pete run forwards and Rich run defense this past weekend, or what's going on there?
You know, we've actually gone with that quite a bit, even though, and we kind of call Rich our offensive coordinator and Pete our defensive coordinator. We're creatures of habit and superstition a little bit. And, I think the first week or two, first couple weeks, Pete was running the D and Rich was running the forwards. And then we switched, I don't know, for different reasons, and we got some wins and some ties with Rich running it. So we've kind of stayed with that. So I think, I'm not sure how many wins Coach Aubrey has back there. Rich may be counting in the back of the room, so he can probably tell you when he gets on. But we've just had better luck and more success when Rich has run the D, and, you know, kind of a superstition or creatures of habit. And the other side of it, too, when Pete's up front with the forwards, he's looking at a little, you know, he's really getting them some good insights from the defensive side to our forwards, you know, and we're kind of the other side. So it works well. And same thing, you're getting a little different look with Rich with the D-man, you know, and some of the offensive plays they need to make, or the offensive of blue line. So it's really just different voices, and but we've been doing that for quite a while when they're both around.
Okay, here's a question that every hockey fan has to every team in the history of the game. Why don't you take outside shots like blue line shots? And I think they're probably referring to any time during the game, but maybe the power play a little bit more. And I think we do take a lot of shots from the blue line.
Yeah, we do. I mean, we want to do more. I walked in tonight and somebody mentioned, you know, we almost had a mini breakaway. And instead of shooting or putting a move on net, we took it to a bad area, tried to make a pass back. You know, it's a great question. If we had all the answers, I mean, those of you who see practice know how we call it pass off the pads, but pretty much every day we'll do some early drills, some flow drills, some skill drills in practice. We call it pass off the pads. We have good wide drive. We have a middleman driving. We want to shoot for a rebound off the goalie's pads with guys crashing. So, you know, you definitely hit it and preach it and coach it. And then, I think, you know, part of it, as a young defenseman, you know, a lot of the freshman D, their comfort level there is not real high yet. They've got to play more games and feel a more comfortable level. So when our D have it, you know, they're still growing in their games that way. But, I agree with that question, that fan. We want more pucks than that. We don't want to pass up shots and good looks. And then we also want to have a better net front presence so that there's a second effort pucks there.
Okay, another fan says we needed points on the weekend. We didn't get them. We got 1 point. We have 13 right now. We've got a 3-point lead over the other team that we're really fighting for the last playoff spot. That's Alaska Anchorage. We are now 2 points behind Alabama Huntsville, and Alabama has two games in hand. Where do we go from here?
We win hockey games. So I know we're in a tough battle. We didn't put ourselves in the best positions that we hoped to. And that goes back to the Fairbanks weekend. It goes really all year, but going even to Fairbanks, we thought we could go up there and get some points on the road against a good team. And, you know, certainly this weekend is one that you need to have more success. So, it puts us behind the eight ball a little bit, but, we'll still fight. We'll still, battle. I know our guys, you know, our guys are doing okay, but they're upset. I mean, they're really upset. They felt the same way. And, you know, the progress we've made, the steps we've taken, you know, really makes this a frustrating and disappointing weekend. But we'll be okay. We got some hockey in front of us. You know, you look at our opponents and what they've gone through lately. And when we saw them in the first half, we're a much better team. So, you know, disappointed for sure, but still excited about finishing strong.
Okay. Another fan here wants to know what's going on with Ian Miller. Why has he not played in so many games? He hasn't played in a while.
Yeah. Well, he had mono too. So Ian's coming back and, you know, what that does to your body physically is not easy. You know, he's been back healthy for a few weeks. You know, and we're asking Ian to do some things away from the puck. You know, he's one of those guys that, he's going to get a look this week because he has a special skill set. He's one of our more skilled players with the puck on his stick. And so everybody might say, well, play him. But, you know, you've got to be great defensively. It doesn't do us any good if you score one goal and you're minus two. So, we're working on Ian. And when he was off with, you know, unlike, maybe Scott Patterson when he was injured, Scott could still do cardio. He could still do some things to stay in shape. Ian was shut right down. He couldn't come to the rink. He couldn't do cardio, couldn't do anything. So, you know, you try to take a month off at this level and come back and compete with these guys and earn your spot. And it's a very difficult thing. So Ian's doing a good job, you know, and we had a good conversation with him. He was part of that gold line we talked about. We had four guys on gold last week. Loved every combination. I thought no matter which four it was, they were really good, and Ian was a big part of that. So he'll get a real good look this week and to see if we can, you know, earn him and get him back in the lineup.
If a player is not performing up to the standards that you set, is it possible to cut his scholarship and replace him?
I don't think, well, not based on athletic performance. You know, we won't do that. We're going to honor what they're on. I think that's important, and that's part of the scholarship process you have. So, you know, there's certainly ways to do it based on academic performance or other off-ice activities the guys at times get involved with, but based on athletic performance, no.
Okay, that's good, and glad to hear that, too. Why does it seem like we always play to the level of the competition?
We play
really well against a good team. Yeah. We play very poorly against a poorer team.
Yeah, I don't know if I've seen that a ton this year. You know, I think everything's been so difficult for us that, you know, we've had growth and we've played. But I think there's a touch of truth to that this weekend. Again, I don't think... You know, you look at the final score and there's disappointment and surprise and again, nothing against Huntsville, but they're a team that's similar to us. But again, we didn't give much up. You know, it wasn't like we got outshot heavily and gave up 15 grade A chances. That wasn't the case. And so, you know, you got to be a little bit careful with that. I would have liked our urgency a little bit better. And I don't know if it's mindsets, like I said, for us to take anybody for granted is, you know, ludicrous in our minds because we're not a team that can do that and really no teams ever are. But, I don't know if I totally agree with that sentiment. I can see how that might feel like it that this weekend. But I'm not sure I've seen that throughout the course of the year.
How many players on the current team did you recruit? Who are your guys on this team?
I'd have to take a little bit of time to think of that. We brought a couple guys in late. Once it happened, you know, I think, two or three of the defensemen that were out of the freshman defensemen were not on it. And again, what happened is, you know, when you look at it, when our staff came in and got the job, we really only had, you know, Draplick had played a lot of college hockey. Lesh had played a pretty good amount, and then Spratty and Harris had not played a whole lot. So we were really inexperienced on the back end. And, you know, hopefully we're bright enough to say, hey, we might want to make sure we're addressing that area and getting that. So we added a couple defensemen late. We had no goaltenders with any college experience as well. So Gordy Dayfield was added late as well. Luke Sandler was another guy. He was down at the Red Wings Prospects Camp with Globe Key. I knew Luke pretty well, and we went down there to take a look at him and Al. So he was another one. I think that's it. So am I missing anybody off the top of your head? So,
I don't know.
If you would know, yeah. So there was a few, but, you know, that, again, that was looking on paper and seeing where we felt like, you know, we could enhance it and what was available late, you know, in April and May. You know, most guys are committed 2, 3, 4 years out now, not a month or two out. So, you know, we tried to get as best as we could and to do a good job at that point for what we thought we might need more of.
I don't know if you mentioned him, but wasn't Chatham a late,
Yeah, one of those D. Yeah. So I think Chatham, Wright, even Birdie was late as well. So those guys were all came in late in the process.
Okay. We're going to take our second break. Rich Mitrol is going to join us. Thanks, Damon. We'll get you back right before the end of the show tonight. We'll be right back with more on the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400. Alrighty, we are back for our third segment of the show tonight. We're at the Antlers on East Portage Avenue in Sault Ste. Marie, and Rich Mitrol, a Sault Ste. Marie native, moves in with us now. Rich back with the team this year. We've had him on once on the hockey show this year, and welcome back to the microphone, first of all. And, you know, I don't know what to say about some of this stuff. People have got a lot of questions about things, power play, penalty kill, all that sort of thing. I think it gets worked on just about every day, all this stuff, and, you know, I want to talk with you about recruits here in a minute, but practice-wise, we do a lot of things with power play and penalty kill every day.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's kind of, I mean, I think that's probably the most frustrating thing. I don't think I've ever been a part of a team that we've worked on it this much, you know, and which is, you know, one of those things that, you know, a lot of scoring comes naturally, let's be honest. I mean, there's, you know, there's no secret behind it. Like, some guys are goal scorers and other guys aren't, and you know, you try to work on as best as you can, because you can show where guys need to go. And, you know, at the end of the day, the compete level and stuff like that is there, but it's just sometimes there's a knack to scoring and some guys don't have it. And, but at the same time, I mean, you know, we're getting our chances, you know, but, you know, it's just a matter of inches, you know, whether it goes in or not. And that, I think that's the most frustrating thing. I think on Friday night, second shift of the game, I think Stephen Profeto hit the post right out of the gates, you know, and we, you know, and then we scored right after that and it would have been 2-0. You know, and who knows, maybe it ends up, you know, 5-0 after that. You know, and I think the same thing kind of happened on Saturday night, too. We hit the post early. I think it was Andrew Domet. And, you know, it's just the way it's going right now. I mean, I don't – teams go through it. You know, I don't know who I was watching the other night. One of the NHL teams was talking about, I think it was the Ottawa Senators. And, you know, they had a rough patch there of not scoring. And they got, you know, those are NHL guys. So, you know, it's one of those things, but hopefully it works itself out here because, I mean, obviously playoffs is around the bend and
we're going to be in it. We have 4 games left in the season. 2 of them are up at your alma mater. We play at Northern Michigan in a couple weeks' time, and we got to prepare for that now. We've got 2 weeks to get ready for the Wildcats. They're a team we can beat if we can play at the top level. If we play like we did against Bemidji or Bowling Green or Mankato, we're going to do pretty well. If we play like we did this past weekend, we're going to struggle at Northern Michigan. And then we come home, we play Ferris State. But that's a team we can beat, too. I think our confidence level should be okay here.
No, exactly. I mean, I don't think we have to fear really anybody, I mean, per se. I mean, you know, obviously this year, if you just look at the standings, I mean, the points, it's really close. You know, Ferris State, I mean, literally was only within, you know, 3 points ahead of us there, you know, over the weekend. And Northern's not much further up. And, you know, other than, you know, Minnesota State and Tech are obviously the 2 teams that are probably the most powerful. But, you know, Northern Michigan, I mean, obviously it's a great rivalry, and that's what we want to establish. You know, I think back in the day when I played against Lake State, I mean, you know, Rick Conley couldn't beat it in the head of us more than how important it was to beat Lake State. And I think vice versa. I don't think Jeff Jackson ever wanted to lose to Northern either. So, you know, if we can get back to that mentality, I think we got a really great chance.
Okay, let's talk a little bit. One of the things you're involved with very much here, you've done a lot of recruiting this year, you and Pete both. Pete's gone right now, as a matter of fact. We've got, I think, 6 kids we've already, you know, we announced 8, but 6 of them are definitely going to come here next fall, try to make this team. We have 3 seniors going out the door. We're going to create a real competitive situation here because there are more than that. There will be some guys announced in April at the late signing point who have committed to come in here. We're going to bring in at least 3 more, I would think, off that list that I've seen. We can't use the names of a lot of these guys. Some of them we can. Diego Cuglietta is coming in here. He was announced in November. Brian Basilico. Basilico is a guy who played in the United States Hockey League. He's now out in the BC League. Anthony Nellis plays in Pembroke. Gage Terrell, who I think is a pretty darn good hockey player, playing in Langley in the BC League. Colin, he's not coming in. Colin Sackleman is signed, but he's a high school kid right now at Shattuck out in Minnesota. He's going to go play a year of junior before he comes to Lake Superior. Owen Hedrick, I'm not sure what he's doing. He's coming off injury. He plays for the Thunderbirds in Sioux, Ontario. He's a big, strong defenseman. He could help us if he's healthy. I don't know if he wants to come next year or if you guys want to put him off a year. And Matt McArdle's the other one, and he is a USHL defenseman, and he's going to come in here next fall. And there are more than that that will come in here. We've got some defensemen, a couple centers, I think, who are going to come in the late signing period. This is going to be a better team.
Well, yeah, that's, I mean, obviously that's the plan. I mean, the whole point of a change is to get at the top of, you know, the standings in a hurry. And I think that's what we want to do. And obviously as intense of recruiting as we've been doing is showing it. And, you know, I mean, I think it's great. I mean, we want to have a team that wins and competes at the, you know, at the top of the charts. And I think, you know, there's no better way to do it than to go out there and hit the bushes hard. And that's what we've done. And hopefully it pays off.
Yeah, and you've got you guys have shown no timidity when it comes to going into the USHL. In the past, we've kind of looked at the USHL as being a lost cause. You go in there, you recruit, you bring them in here, you spend a lot of money on them, and then they don't come. You haven't done that. You've gone and you've gotten quite a few of them to say, "Yeah, I want to play at Lake Superior."
Yeah, I mean, right from the get-go, I think you know we've been in there pretty hard. I mean, both me and Damon. Damon right off the hop, he went to the first fall classic there in Green Bay, and then the way they had it split up this year, they had it two different showcases, which was really bizarre. The USHL started on one in Green Bay on one weekend, and the following weekend they had one out in Sioux City, Iowa. And then in between that, they had the North American League showcased in Blaine, which is all the teams. And then at the same time, Toronto had theirs and Ottawa had theirs. And I mean, for three of us to pound out as much as we did, it was pretty crazy. And then, you know, numerous times I've been back for, you know, and forth from the USHL, and so has Pete and so is Damon. So that's an area we want to get stronger in and give more of a presence in it. And I think we've shown that we can do it.
Yeah. People always ask about the two local youngsters who are playing for the Eagles too. Will Gauthier and Chase Gamblin. They played at Sioux High. They are probably not going to come in 2015-16. They're going to go play another year of junior somewhere. And you guys are kind of leaving that up to them. If they want to play for the Eagles again, that's fine. If they want to go somewhere else, you'll help them go somewhere else.
Yeah. I'm not sure we can touch on that yet.
Well, they're both announced as being recruits, so we could talk about it, but
I don't think they've
we don't need to talk about where they're going yet. Those are local kids.
Right, exactly. I mean, I don't think they've either one of them signed their NLI yet, so I don't think we can.
Yeah, I think they announced last year they had committed to Lake Superior State, but you're right. Okay, we'll stay away from that subject. Let's move on and talk a little bit about what we got going the rest of the year here.
Well, let's talk about Owen Hedrick, because I just saw him.
Yeah.
And he's a kid that signed his NLI.
You did see him.
So I just went over this afternoon and watched Owen Hedrick. He's back now playing for the Thunderbirds. He's been out for about, I don't even know how long, 3 months, 2 months?
Yeah, at least two.
He had major shoulder surgery. And so there's a defenseman there that, I'll tell you what, he looked really good. I was really impressed on how, I mean, you know, how just his skill set and his touches with the puck and his stick and everything. I mean, he really did. He looked like a pro out there. I mean, he's got some real poise, and he's got a little bite to his game too, and you know, we'll see how it transpires, you know, to whether, you know, it's next year or the year after, but I'll tell you what, I really liked how he played, and he's going to be a great addition to our team.
Well, I know he's big and strong. He comes from a good family. His dad was a pretty good athlete himself, so he's got a good background there. And yeah, I forgot, today's a holiday in Canada, isn't it? So we've got you had hockey this afternoon.
Yeah, I don't know if you ever watch Fast Hockey, but there in Canada today there was Junior A hockey games going on from 9 this morning till all the way tonight, and I think Pete's watching a ton of it, and that's why I went over at 2. And so yeah, you can do a lot of recruiting nowadays just on watching video. It's crazy how the technology is great for each organization. But
now, we talked a little bit with Damon about what's going on this week. We do have the week off. The other teams are all playing. They have games in hand on us, so we'll kind of watch the scoreboard this weekend and hope we get some help there. But what do we work on this week? He's talking about maybe shaking up some lines. I know you guys work together on all this stuff. It's not the head coach who makes all these decisions. So it'll be interesting this week to see what happens.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, everyone, you know, has an opinion on who should be in and who should be out. And, you know, same with the players. Everybody wants to be in, and, yeah. you know,
amazing how that works.
If you want in, I mean, it starts, you know, usually Monday's practice, and then it leads up to it till Thursday, and then we make a decision. I mean, I think everybody has a chance from Monday to Thursday to make the lineup. And what you do in that, you know, those 4 days is huge. You know, if you come out from Monday until Thursday and you battle hard and you beat a guy out, you're going to probably be in the lineup. You know, if you go out there and take 2 or 3 days off, I mean, your chances of being in the lineup, especially right now, the way it is, I mean, the margin of error right now to be in and out of the lineup is pretty slim. It's not like anyone's really lighting it up, or, you know, has 30 or 40 goals or whatever. So, I mean, you got a chance every day. And so this will be a good week to see who comes to show up and who wants to really get back in that lineup.
Yeah, we got guys. We sat out three guys who normally play on Saturday night, inserted some other kids. We thought, I think the consensus is that Luke Sandler adds a little bit to the lineup whenever he's in there. You just got to be sure he doesn't take any penalties that hurt you. Scotty Patterson played pretty well for you, and so did Zach Lesh.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's just the way it is. I mean, it seems like the guys that have come in have done well, and some of the guys have gone out and got back in have done well. I mean, you get guys that stay in and can have that consistency of playing well every single game. You know, that's kind of what you're shooting for. You don't want to, you know, kind of a seesaw battle of I'm good tonight, but I'm bad tomorrow or whatever. You want to establish kind of a rhythm. And, you know, I mean, Scotty Patterson was out with his shoulder there, and he came back in and had a great, you know, I thought he had a really good game. I mean, he had some energy, and he had a couple good scoring chances. And Luke Sandler, I mean, he just battles hard, you know. And if there's, you know, one thing, you know, with Luke, he's going to bring it. And sometimes whether it's good or bad or indifferent, he plays on that edge. But, you know, but on that edge against Bemidji, I think he had two tip goals in front of that net because
right.
he was in there, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, those are some of the things you got to live with. But, I mean, you know he wants to be in there, and he works hard.
Yeah, and, you know, Scotty Patterson, he looks to me like a kid that if he could get serious in a weight room and build himself up a little bit, get stronger and protect that shoulder a little bit, he's going to be a really good player.
Yeah, I mean, there's a prime example. You take a kid that he does. He's got an NHL shot. He can shoot it. He's got great hands, you know, but, you know, he's going to have to really do have a big summer and put some weight on because, I mean, it's at the end of the day, a college hockey is a man's sport. I mean, they're big guys out there, and if you can't take the punishment, you're not going to probably last too many games in a row.
Yeah, and how many times have we seen that over the years? We'll have a player who's got some ability, but he doesn't work hard enough in a weight room, and he ends up getting hurt, and then he never does really play up to potential. I can think of a couple Lakers the last few years who would fit right into that category. Another guy I wanted to ask about, and I didn't get to Damon with it tonight, so I'll ask you about him, is Jason Bird. He sat out a few games now, and in fact, he sat out maybe half a dozen or more games this year. Looks like a pretty good offensive defenseman, but might have a defensive deficiency or something. So Pete Spratty's done a good job going in and playing for him.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, obviously Jason Bird, the games he's been in, he's done a good job. And, he got hurt there for a while, and I think he missed 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I think he had a shoulder problem as well. And, you know, that's just, you know, he was playing pretty well, got hurt, and then other guys can start playing better, and, you know, it's one of those things where then you get in and, you know, maybe you don't have the same confidence in him as you did before, or maybe he makes a mistake that causes him to get out, you know, and, you know, I think that's just the way it kind of goes right now. But he is a kid. He's got a good shot. He's got good hands, and, you know, he's a guy that we're going to, you know, down the road, hopefully he turns into that power play defenseman.
Yeah, and the other thing is Pete Spratt, he's working hard in practice, not making mistakes. He's very sound defensively. He's not going to score a lot of goals for you, but he can move the puck up the ice. I thought he played pretty well both games this weekend.
Right. No, I thought Pete Spratt did a great job. And he you know, there's a prime example. He had a really good weekend, you know, in North Dakota, was kind of his coming out party. He had Friday night, he played exceptionally well. And then Saturday night, he started the game and he got hit pretty hard and blew his shoulder out. He was out for 3 or 4 weeks, and then he's done a real good job of getting himself back into playing shape. And, you know, he needed a chance. I mean, it wasn't his fault that he got hurt. So, you know, when he got an opportunity to go in, he's done a good job doing it.
Well, I'll tell you, we've got a little bit of time left here. I'm going to keep it right here. We'll just double up our spot load at the end of the show tonight rather than stop now and then come back for a couple of minutes. We'll stick with it here for a few minutes yet, Rich. And, you know, recruiting is one of the things you and Pete really spend a lot of time with. What would you say would be the average amount of time, or how much have you done so far this season, hours-wise, days-wise, mileage, whatever you want to go on? You've been all over the place. One thing we've done in the last 2 years that's really helped is we've increased the recruiting budget for hockey, and you guys are able to make a few more trips than we used to make and do some more flying than we used to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, obviously this year, like I was saying, it with this fast hockey and how good of quality it's gotten, you know, it used to be, well, I'm going recruiting, you take off on a Friday and come back on a Sunday or something like that. But nowadays you can turn on your, when you get home at night, you can watch games that are delayed or whatever, go back and rewatch games. Or so, I mean, I think when the girls go to bed around, you know, 8:30, 9 o'clock, from about 11 o'clock to 1 in the morning, I think I'm watching games. And I know Pete and Damon are doing the same thing. And then you get on the road, and I think my last trip to Detroit, I might have caught, I caught a junior B game in London, Ontario. I was in Port, I think I was in Port Huron. I watched some Bantam Silver Sticks, and then I went over and watched some Midget Major and Midget Minor, and then I ended up watching an NA game back in Flint. And, you know, I think the mileage you put on sometimes is unbelievable. Like, you know, you could be in a car for 30 hours round trip, and, you know, but I mean, that's just the way it goes. You want to see as much as you possibly can when you're out there, because you don't get out there as much as you probably should be out there. But I mean, that's college hockey. You got to coach, you got to recruit, you kind of got to do it all. So, you know, you try to get the most bang for your buck.
Yeah. And, it's a tough life, because if you're married, you got a family, you're away quite a bit, but you kind of make up for it a little bit, I guess, in the summer. But even then, sometimes you get involved with camps.
Yeah. That's changed it quite a bit too.
Yeah. You got to make extra money for one thing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's a tough business, but you guys are doing a good job, and I think you know, there are probably some players on this team who are a little bit worried about how many people we're bringing in next year. We're losing three to graduation, and it looks like we're going to bring quite a few more than three in here. So it's going to be competitive. You're going to have to be in shape. You're going to have to work hard this summer. There's going to be a lot of messages here, and this team's going to get better. It's gotten better this year. It's going to get better in the future.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just normal, though. I don't think it's... You know, anywhere else, I think it's the exact same thing. I mean, when I played at Northern for 4 years, I didn't go home in the summer and think I was going to come back and be on the first line guaranteed or second line or whatever. I had my spot. It didn't work like that. I mean, you had to come back in the best shape of your life. You had to compete for every chance you got to get in the lineup. Monday practice was game on till Thursday, and then hopefully you're in the lineup. And I mean, it's D1 college hockey, and I don't know. You know, I think any sport, it's the same way. You know, and I think, you know, these guys are going to have to go home and do a major job in the summer and come back ready to go. And the guys coming in are going to have to, you know, the freshmen are going to have to be the same way. So there's no guarantees in college hockey. And the only guarantee is you got to take care of business and hopefully give yourself the best chance to be in the lineup.
Rick Comley didn't just say to you, go home, Rich, have a good summer. Come on back in the fall, you'll be on the first line. He didn't do that.
Yeah.
You tell a great story about what he did do one time. Just tell the folks that one. When he went around the room.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, that's just the way it was back in the day. There was no guarantees. You know, if you didn't produce, you were pretty much gone. And
how much did he tell you he wanted you to bench?
Yeah, I mean, there was a standard. I mean, I think Brendan Morrison set the bar that one year. I don't know if you guys remember Brendan Morrison.
Michigan.
Michigan player, played in the NHL. And he got the Hobie Baker, I think, that year, and he was benching like 300 pounds. And he said, all right, fellas, see you back in August, benching 300 pounds. If you don't do it, don't come back.
And Rich was like, benching 180, and he went, oh, what?
169 pounds. I was like, wow, it's going to be a huge summer.
Well, that about takes care of it here tonight. We're out of time. We got to catch up on a spot load here before we get out of here. I want to remind everybody, we'll announce this next week at the show as well. We will have another show next Monday night, even though we're not playing this weekend. Blue Liner Banquet coming up at the Sisler Center. It's Sunday, March 8th. The social at 2 p.m., the dinner at 3 p.m., a program to follow. $20 for adults, $10 for kids 5 to 12. And you can get tickets for that at the Norris Center ticket office. You got to catch them when they're open there, but they're open quite a bit during the day now. They do a good job up there. Good weekend this past weekend for crowds. I thought it was great and some interesting things going on. Tough loss, though, on Saturday night. I know you guys took that one pretty tough.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that was disappointing, you know. I thought that, you know, just like Damon said, I thought, Saturday night when we started that game, I thought the guys were really, really going. And, you know, we had a lot of buzz. The guys were excited to play. I didn't think there was any doubt going into that game for myself and everyone else. I didn't, you know, I thought for sure we're going to, you know, pull it off and get the win. And, you know, it's just, you know, hockey's a strange sport sometimes where you just don't get that bounce. And I don't think they really did anything exceptional. They got the one power play goal, which was no different than anything we tried that night. They threw it on the net, it hit a pad, bounced over to a guy, and he got it in. I mean, you know, Garrett Clement had the same thing earlier in the game, and then, you know, for some reason it just didn't pan out for us. But yeah, disappointing loss for sure on Saturday. The crowds were great. You know, I'll tell you what, I drive around town, I talk to a lot of people in this town, and people are still excited, and they should be. There's a lot of great things that are going to happen, and it's great to see people supporting us, especially right now. And you know, hopefully the best is yet to come.
Okay, I want to thank all the fans for showing up here tonight at the Antlers. Chris Sable and his staff for playing host to us as usual. And for Rich Mitro and Damon Witten and Mark Sinangelo, along with Jimmy DeSano, I'm Bill Crawford. So long from the Laker Hockey Show. Back your way next Monday night on ESPN 1400.